Is that better? Okay. Sorry. Psalm 103, verse 20, says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word." Heeding the voice of his word, they do his word. They do his word. And in Psalm 91, somebody want to read for me, please, verses 9 through 13. Psalm 91, verses 9 through 13.
"Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot."
You can see the role of the angels here is quite involved in our lives. And yet, rarely do we really call upon them or even understand what they can do for us. But that's going to change today.
Thank you, Lord.
Hebrews chapter 1, starting in verse 13. "But to which of his angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool'? Are they not," who's they?
Angels.
"Not ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" Who are those who will inherit salvation? That's us. That's you and me. So what is the topic here? Angels. Angels. Then chapter 2, see, now the Bible was not written, chapter 1, verse 8, chapter 2, verse... It wasn't written that way. It was just written continually. Man looked at it and decided, this is how we'll divide it up so that we can read it. But chapter 2, the first few verses are part of chapter 1. He's not changing topics here. When they say, therefore, it's referencing what has just been said.
Amen.
We all know that, right? That's not news to us. And what has just been said, that angels are ministering spirits who are sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed, pay more careful attention to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. The things we've heard, lest we drift away. What's he telling us there? He's telling us very clearly that this topic, these verses, don't lose them. Don't lose them. Do you know that that's the one of the very few portions of Scripture where it references back, don't miss this. Don't miss this. It's critically important. All right, so we don't want to drift away. So therefore, we must give the most earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or punishment, depending what you're... Now I'm going to come back to verse 2, and I will explain in detail what it means. Okay, but I want to go on to verse 3 for the moment. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What are we escaping from? Years, for years I read that and I thought, first interpretation was something to do with going to heaven. How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now, what are we supposed to be neglecting? What are we escaping from, and what are we supposed to be neglecting? Well, he says, don't neglect the things you've heard. Give more attention. And what is the topic again? Angels. Angels. What are they doing? What are the angels doing? What's their role? What's their role?
What's that? They're messengers.
Okay, what'd you say? Sorry, say again? Louder. Carrying out the voice of his word, okay. There's still a key thing here we need. What's their role?
Ministering
what?
Ministering to us.
Ministering to us.
The spoken word.
They're hearing the voice of his word.
Yes, that's what they're doing, but see, they are ministering on my behalf and on your behalf. They're doing the word of God that you have spoken for you. That's their role. That's one of their roles, sorry. That's one of their roles. They're doing the word of God. They do the word. Psalm 103, verse 20 says, they do the word, they heed the voice of the word. Isn't it interesting how that was phrased? They heed the voice of the word. Why do you think it was phrased like that? Instead of saying they heed God's voice. There's an important distinction. See, when it says they heed God's voice, and then it's up to God. But when they say they heed the voice of the word. Who's the voice of the word? If you're speaking the word, it's you. If you're speaking the word, it's you. They heed you speaking the word. That's critically important. Critically important. Now, going back to this here, how shall we escape? How shall we escape? Verse 3. What are we escaping from? You know what? It's important to understand what escape means here. We're not escaping hell. It's not referring that to that. We're not escaping hell. The word escape here means to escape from calamities. To escape from the power of someone. To release. To bring safely through a danger. To save or rescue from. Does that put it more in perspective? If you neglect so great a salvation. And the word salvation, of course, is sozo there. So it's not talking simply about going to heaven. It's referring to, what does sozo refer to? What does it mean?
Wellness, wholeness.
Being made whole. So it includes your healing, deliverance, your mindset, your overall general disposition. It includes everything. It includes everything. And if you neglect the ministry of angels, you lose out on all this. You lose out on it. This is referring directly to the deliverance that comes from the ministry of angels. It's what angels do. They're available. They sit waiting for us to speak the word of God. That's what they do. And if we don't speak the word of God, guess what they do?
Nothing.
And they're wondering why. They're wondering why. Why don't God's people call upon us? Why don't they call upon us? Angels are God's ministering spirits that God himself has made available to serve his children in accordance with his word. Let me read Psalm 103, verse 12. Someone else. Psalm 103, verse 20. Read it again. Any translation, good and loud. 103, verse 20, please. Anybody?
Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word.
So there's three things about them here. What are the three things?
They excel in strength.
What does that mean?
They're very strong.
It's not a good idea to irritate or provoke an angel. They excel in strength. They excel. They're a lot stronger than you and me, which you'll see in a few minutes. They heed, they do his word. They do his word. They do his word. They heed the voice of his word.
They obey the voice of his word.
Yep. Now there's two things here in this part of it. They heed the voice of his word. This tells us two things. First of all, number one, that you and I or anyone can speak the word of God, born again. You can speak the word, I can speak the word. But there's another part in here. They heed the voice of his word. What is the word? What's that tell you? Voice. Something. Out loud.
Say, speak the word.
Out loud. In other words, they heed the out loud spoken word of his word. No voice, no heed. No heed, no do. No do, get nothing. That's what he's telling us. That's what he's telling us. How shall we escape difficult circumstances where we need a miracle? And you'll see, I'm going to give you a ton of examples in a minute. But how shall we escape that if we neglect? If we neglect, it's like saying, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. No, I don't need Jesus, but I don't want to go to hell. How can I neglect Jesus and go to heaven? You can't. If we do not understand what God has given us, we will not escape. We will not be delivered to. We won't be rescued from. We're on our own. We're on our own. Not a good place to be when you are facing the devil. So let's look at verse 2, because that's a bit of a tough one. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or punishment. What does that mean? Every transgression and disobedience received a just reward or penalty. For years, I didn't get it. But actually, when the Holy Spirit unfolds it, it's actually fairly straightforward and simple. Numbers chapter 22. Numbers 22. First, verse 12, God's word. God says to Balaam, don't go with them. And don't curse my people, for they're blessed. So what does Balaam do? Verse 21. He rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and he went. And God, verse 22, says God became angry. And the angel of the Lord, one of his angels, took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. Verse 23. The donkey saw the angel. Balaam did not. Standing in the way with his sword out. And the donkey was smart enough not to try to go past him. Three times Balaam beat the donkey because he wouldn't just go through. And then finally God gave the donkey the ability to speak. Because you know what Balaam was doing here? He was provoking God's angel. He was provoking. He was doing exactly what Hebrews 2:2 was talking about. What does Hebrews 2:2 say? The word spoken was don't go. Every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. In verse 33 of Numbers 22, the angel says to Balaam, if the donkey hadn't stopped you, I would have killed you. I would have killed you. Balaam's disobedience to the word of God almost cost him his life. Almost cost him his life. When you go against the word of God, you're going to come up against his angels. Another example is in Acts chapter 12. And we're going to look at a bunch of examples here. Acts chapter 12. Verse 21, I believe. No, I'm going to get to that one after. There's another one here. So Herod here is flaunting himself. He's just flaunting himself on the throne. As we've seen some folks do of late. Which we won't mention. Okay. And what happened is that because he did not humble himself here. The people saying the voice of a God, you know, and not a man. You can always count on the people to get it wrong. What happened? Verse 23, an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and he died. Don't go against God. God is gracious and merciful, but there comes a time when that's it. That's it. In the same chapter, now we're going to look at the other side of how the angels are there to help us and how they help us. So in Acts chapter 12, we're already there. We see at the beginning that James is killed. Now nobody's praying for James, or at least not much. So now they take Peter and put him in prison. But the church, it says here, the constant prayer is being offered for him. Constant prayer. Constant prayer. What kind of prayer?
Constant.
Prayer for
earnest,
but prayer for deliverance. God help him. Save him. Get him out of there, Lord. Save him. And what happened is one of God's angels responded to the constant prayers being spoken by the church to free him. Verse 7, behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him and delivered him. Delivered him. What does that mean? It means he got set free. Why did he get set free?
Church
was praying. That's true. What happened as a result of the church praying? An angel responded to the prayers. When you pray the word of God, an angel will respond to your prayers. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, one time type of thing, oh God, I'd like a new limo. I'm not talking about that kind of, I'm saying when you are, it's talking about a fervent prayer, earnest prayer, in line with the word of God. We know God didn't want him dead. I don't think God wanted James dead either. But nobody prayed for James, or not much. Sometimes, you know, we wonder, how could that happen? But nobody's praying. Nobody's praying. Well, how come this one got that and that one didn't get this? Maybe someone was praying in this one. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Avails much. Next example, Daniel chapter 6. We're going to look at so many examples, you're going to be convinced. Now, they see Daniel praying, they don't like him, they get the king, who's an idiot, to sign a decree that for the next 30 days he can only pray to him. Then they go watch Daniel as he continues to pray to God, verse 10, Daniel 6:10, when he knew about this edict, he still went home and he prayed, verse 11, he's praying to God, verse 11. Keep that in mind. Then, of course, he gets caught and they put him in a lion's den. Now, these lions were meant to kill you. And they typically did the job, or they wouldn't have had them there. But when they came to Daniel the next morning, he'd used them for a pillow. What happened? Well, verse 22, Daniel says, "My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they haven't hurt me, because I was found innocent before him, and also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Going on to verse 23, it says, Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found in him or on him, because he believed his God. That means he was praying. He didn't go into the lion's den and said, "Oh well, God, whatever your will be, amen." See, that's not praying, and it's not holy, and it's not righteous. It's stupid. God gave us his word so that we could speak it. We could speak it. It's like if someone's attacking you and you have a gun with bullets in it, and you look at it and say, "Well, I know I could use this to defend myself, but whatever God wants." What do you think would happen to the person? They'd be dead. God gave you his word to use it. He gave you his word to use it. Daniel is praying and he's speaking the word of God and he's believing what he says. How do you know that? Because it says so right here. Because he believed in his God. He believed it. Now, angels do not just protect us from harm. They do that well, but that's not all they do. That's a wonderful thing. There's a lot more that they do. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. He needs a revelation or he's going to be killed. So, verse 12, he's praying in verse 12. This angel appears and says to him, "Don't fear, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come because of what? Because of his words, not his thoughts. You know, not because God knows the situation. You'd be astounded how many people think, "Well, God knows," and think that's going to be the answer. He came because of your words. He came because of your words, not your thoughts, your words. What do you think his words were? Huh? Any thoughts? What was it? What were his words? Lord, I need revelation for this. I need it. I need to understand. I need you to tell me. I need to hear from God. I need to understand what I'm supposed to know. Something to that effect. And the angel shows up and says, there was opposition. God heard you the first day. First day, God heard you. God heard you speaking words the first day. And he sent me immediately. God wasn't waiting to see. Let's just see how long he hangs in there. He sent me right away. But there's opposition. There is opposition to us, to you, to me. For everything that we ask of God, there's opposition. How do you know that? Is that true? How do you know it's true?
The devil does.
Yeah, but how do you know? How do you know it's true? How do you, I'm not making it up. Am I making it up? Which verse? 13. Okay. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the archangels, came to me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. There was a spiritual battle going on. And the enemy did not want him to get the revelation. The enemy doesn't want you to get it either. He doesn't want you to have your health. He doesn't want you to prosper in any way. And he fights against you in the spirit realm. He fights. He fights. Now God answered it immediately. But what if Daniel had stopped praying and decided, well, must be God's will not to. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's critical that you remain steadfast in your praying. Because your words are going to put you over. Or not, depending on what you're praying. We need, see, the more you stay steadfast in your prayer life, the more angels will be dispatched on your behalf. There are angels in here today. We don't see them with our natural eyes, but they're here. Some of them, I'm sure, are wondering why we don't put them to more useful work than standing around watching us. But we will after today. I came because of your words. I came because of your words. Your words bring God's angels to work on your behalf. In this case, you need a revelation. Now, I've got a ton of examples here. So I'm just going to give you some of them here so we're not here all day. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, for reference. An angel tells Joseph, it's okay, you can marry Mary, everything is cool. You know, God's the one that did it, and everything's going to be just tickety-boo. Then in chapter 2, he comes, another angel warns Joseph to flee Egypt to protect Jesus from Herod. Then another angel shows up later and tells him it's okay to go back. Now here's a really interesting one. 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 20 and then 32 to 35. Well, let's read that one. That's kind of interesting. It's amazing how often angels became involved in these things. 2 Kings chapter 19. Now Hezekiah is facing an attack. And the guy who wants to attack him is Sennacherib, who is the king of Assyria. And he's got hundreds of thousands of warriors ready to attack. He wants to destroy them. But God intervenes with this because Hezekiah is praying. And God's response is, Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. This character sent a cherub there. He's not coming into the city. So I don't want you to shoot any arrows. I don't want you to do anything. I'm going to defend this city. And how am I going to do it? Well, it came to pass, verse 35, on a certain night that an angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they got up the next morning, they were all dead. One angel, one night, 185,000 people. Do you think your angel can help? Really? Think he can help your situation? Of course he can. Of course he can. God is not limited except by the things we say and the prayers that we pray. In Genesis chapter 19, two angels deliver Lot and his family. And in verse 22 of that chapter, he says, they say to him, "We can't do anything until you're safe. God sent us here to save you." Genesis 24, God sends out his angels to help, to prepare the way for his people. Acts 8, verse 26. I believe that's where the angel tells Philip where to go. Do you see the role, how active their role is in this, though? The angels, God uses the angels quite a bit. And he's made them available to you and I. Okay. Acts 8, and I believe it's 26. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and told him basically where he's to go to. An angel did that. See, if we don't pay attention to God's gracious gift of his angels ministering on our behalf, if we neglect this precious gift, we're going to miss out. Miss out on a major component of our salvation that is made available right here on earth. We won't need them in heaven. They're here for us now. You have an angel. I'm trying to think where it is. Where Jesus basically said, every child is assigned an angel. Is there anybody who's having a bell with any of you? He said, don't forbid them to come, for their angels see the face of my Father in heaven. Does that ring a bell with anyone? Yeah, everyone gets an angel. What's he doing? What's he doing? What are we doing with him? How is he helping, or how are the angels helping us? In addition to everything here, these are just a list of all the scriptures in the New Testament, not the Old, the New Testament, where angels intervened. Matthew 18:10. Would you read it for us, please? Always see the face of my Father. Pretty amazing, eh? I have 18 references here of angels being involved. Zacharias, you know, when he was told about the son, that he was going to have a son. Joseph, we did talk about that one. Mary, when she was told she was going to have a baby. To the shepherds, to Jesus, after he fasted 40 days at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus the second time when the angels came to strengthen him, to Mary Magdalene and at the grave. The apostles, Jesus ascending. Again, the apostles, Acts 5, they were being released from prison. Philip, I talked about, to Cornelius, when Cornelius was he was praying to God. An angel showed up and told him to call for Peter. And then to Peter, to go there and so forth. On and on and on. These references are there to reinforce within us. We need them. We need the angels of God. We need them. We need them to operate on our behalf. But they're not going to if we don't speak the word. You have an angel. When's the last time you asked them to do something? Scriptural. When's the last time?
Are we trying to name angels? I guess I'm confused about, you know, four angels to come. Are we praying to angels? Are we?
No, we don't pray to angels, no. We speak the word. For example, spirit of fear comes and says, I resist you in Jesus' name. I resist you, fear. I resist you. The angels are there basically to enforce the word. They enforce the word of God. They're like the policemen, if you want to look at it that way. They enforce the word, or they could be the messengers. They bring information. Do you see what I'm saying? It is their role is to help bring the answer to our prayers. But we pray to Jesus, we pray to God. The angels are there to serve. That's their role. That's their function. And so when you speak the word, angels, I charge you to watch over my children. Keep them safe. Wherever they go, angels, you be around them and watch over them. That kind of thing. Does that help make it clear? Good. Yeah, we don't pray to angels. We don't. Ever.
So, Pastor, we pray to God. God commands angels.
That can happen as well. But I can also say to the angels, go and watch over Sarah and Jose and Joaquin and Dahlia in Peru. I charge you, angel, and I do this every day, go and watch over them. Keep them safe. Now, that doesn't mean I can't say, oh Lord, please watch over my children and keep them safe. I can do that too. But whenever we go out in the car, I always say, I thank you, Lord, that the angels of God are watching over us and protecting us. Well, I don't always. Sometimes I forget. But I try not to forget. Watch over us and keep us safe and keep our vehicle safe. Watch over our home, angels. Watch over and keep it safe. That kind of thing. They're there for a reason. They're there for a reason. Now, when I pray to God and I say to God, Lord, I ask for your protection over me, that also releases angels to watch over. You know? So it is understanding that they have a vital role. They have a vital role to play. But if we don't ever ask, you know, if we have an attitude of, well, you know what, God's in charge and whatever he wants is okay, they're not going to do much. That's not going to help us. We need to be active in the word. We need to be active. We need to be. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yep.
It's a thin line there, though, between Catholics, they'll pray to the angels.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you don't pray to angels.
You pray to God. And ask God. And the reason I use that God sends him out, because that's what he did to Mike. He sent Michael. He commands the angels.
Yep.
To do what we're praying.
Yes, that's true. That's very true. But you can still say, I command the angels of God to watch over my children.
Yeah, but you're not praying to the angels, you're speaking.
That's correct. No, you don't pray to angels.
Because people
you don't.
Get very confused about that.
Yeah. Catholics pray to the dead.
Some Christians,
you know,
pray to angels.
Yeah, all right. I mean, it's just, we don't ever pray to angels, ever.
It's interesting, Psalm 91, where it says, because you have made the Lord your refuge, and because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, he will give his angels charge over you. They will watch you in all of your ways. That's pretty comprehensive. They will watch you in all of your ways, or keep you in all of your ways, and in their hands they shall bear you up with their hands so that you don't dash your foot against the stone, and then you'll do more there. So we make the Lord our refuge and our dwelling place. We abide in him,
I believe in angelic protection. It's very clear in Psalm 91, later.
Yeah, because, you see, in Psalm 103, verse 20, they do his word, they heed the voice of his word. The voice. It doesn't just say they heed God's voice. When it says it heeds the voice of the word, that's us speaking the word. But it's got to be in line with the word. You understand that? You know, you can't say, you know, angels, my neighbor irritates me. Go beat the crap out of him. That's not going to accomplish anything at all. So we can't do that. It's got to be, yes, sir.
When there's an implicit presence of the angels, just like Elisha, when the army came to capture him, God already had angels.
Oh, yep, all around, thousands.
I got you covered.
Amen.
So the danger is not to address the angels personally. It's just to go through God and they implicitly do it. They are there wherever we go. If you try to go somewhere where you're not supposed to, the angel will try to restrain you. But it's implicit. It's not, it doesn't do it all the time. He's there all the time, but he doesn't have to reveal himself.
Oh, he doesn't have, no, he doesn't have to. But there has to be direction. Either through God, saying, Lord, protect me, or angels of the Lord, protect me. You need to release your words. They heed the voice of the word. And so that's either got to come from us, or it comes from us to God to them. In other words, if you sit there and don't say anything, you can't just say, well, God will look after it, because he won't. That's not scriptural. It's not scriptural. He's waiting to hear us speak to our mountain. Isn't he? Speak to the mountain. I know that sounds awkward sometimes, and probably a lot of people think we'd be nuts for doing it, but Mark 11 tells us very clearly, speak to your mountain. Don't tell God about it. Speak to your mountain. Speak to it. Speak to it. Sickness, you can't stay in my body in the name of Jesus. You can't. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You speak to your mountain. Devil, take the veil off of so-and-so so they can hear the truth of the Word of God. You know, there's a veil over unbelievers. But one of the ways is to pray it off so they can hear. And then to pray someone to come in and to bring them the Word. You know, it just continuing, staying faithful. And I tell you, I'm still astounded Nora got saved. I mean, it's... to me, that's right up there with the parting of the sea, you know. I never met anyone more stubborn and more set on, I don't want anything to do with God in my life. And if God can get through to her... Yeah.
Colossians 2, verse 18... warns us about the worship of angels.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. I hope that's clear. We don't worship angels. We command them. We don't worship them. We worship God. Only God. Only God.
And that's what happened to the Colossian church.
Yeah.
They told them, well, you don't need to go directly to God. The angels can bring what you want. Just keep asking them. So we had this succession of this ascension or ladder. That he said, well, we can't really talk to God personally. You can go to the angel and the angel will give you. Yeah. God is too holy and you can't show up.
Well, it's, yeah, the Catholic Church has a lot of that. I mean, there's, you can buy statues of angels or of any of the dead saints. And I know they... my family gets annoyed at me because I won't pray to my dead brother or my dead mother or father. You know, they're dead. You know what I mean? And if they were alive, I wouldn't be praying for them to them either. Only God. God is the only one that we revere. Only God. Yeah, we worship only God.
Driving down the street and the truck came off and moved, but I didn't nature is to crave protection, protection came.
Praise God. We're good? All right, Heavenly Father, I just pray and ask you to help us, Lord. Help us to understand the things that you want to communicate to us. Help us, Jesus, that we would not neglect what you have provided for us in every single area. We bless you this morning. And we thank God. We thank you, Lord, especially with this being Thanksgiving. We're grateful to you, Father, for all the multitude of kindnesses that you do. We're very grateful to you, Jesus. Very, very grateful. And we thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.